For the latest news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring the Boston Bash Brigade, visit our website at www.b3crew.com.
Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/BostonBash Brigade. Follow us on Twitter under our respective pen names.
And don't forget to check out the rest of the Land of Esh programming, including the Electric Sisterhood, Geek Aggro, and the Issues program.
When the sisters are away, the bastards will play. It's time for the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Episode 149. Three hands? I'll just use my mouth.
Bastards and wenches, please rise for the Boston National Anthem.
For Boston, for Boston.
Bastards and wenches, you may be seated, and welcome to another episode of the Boston Bastard Brigade. I am King Baby Duck.
Blue Onyx.
Tag.
And we are back from our little woodsy adventures. I know I myself was up in Mount Washington on a failed attempt of reaching the summit, but only made it up to Crab Lake or whatever the hell it's called.
You make it to Tuckerman's?
Tuckerman's Ravine, thank you.
Yes.
I made it up to Tuckerman's Ravine, but there was, like, horrible storms approaching. The sky was all black, so I was like, you know what? I do not want to risk.
What day was this?
It was, like, a Saturday. Not yesterday, but the previous Saturday. They were saying really bad storms were coming.
Oh, yeah, that was a rainy day.
Yeah, that was.
Yes.
No, I was up there, too, the same day.
Yeah. So, we go all the way back down, and for the first time ever, you know, usually when you climb a mountain, going down is a lot faster. For some reason, like, for me personally, I felt like it was a lot longer.
You didn't want to slip on the rocks and kill yourself, probably?
Probably not. Or because there were less people with us when we climbed down. So, you know, conversations help things, you know, helps time pass. Tell us a little bit about your little woodsy adventures.
My normal camping trip. I went up there, stayed up there for a week, Saturday to...
And up there is New Hampshire.
Yes, New Hampshire. Saturday to Saturday, base of Mount Washington, a little place called Dollycop. Set up my campsite. We went a whole bunch of different days to the river. It rained a lot of the days, so we did a bunch of half days at the river. Came back, played cards, cooked a lot of meat at night. The normal. Cook meat, swim at river. Repeat. Went to Adattach, and I didn't fall off the Alpine slide this year.
Wait. You've fallen off before?
Yes. Every single year. It's as slow for a reason on those signs. We do not pay attention to them. But we always derail our carts at least once, and I got the back of my cart off the track around one of the corners. So
fun.
All in all, Adattach is a big waste of money. Just saying. All right. That's it for me.
Right. I know you didn't go on any woodsy adventures, but...
My woodsy adventures is my back friggin' yard. Dealing with the pond is not fun anymore. I'm tired of it, and this is why I tell my mother we can't have nice things. I can't keep up with my fucking backyard.
Didn't it turn green or something?
We cleaned it. It was green before. We cleaned it, and it turned fucking green again. It fucking doesn't get any easier. It really doesn't. It just fucking doesn't get any easier. That's what I have to say about that.
Well, besides that, I don't know how much you can reveal about this aspect of it, but you took a fire exam, a physical one.
Yeah, I passed it as it's called and whatnot, so I'm trying to do either one of the two, police or fire. I may go back and try to go and get my EMT, maybe, but I don't. That's such a miserable job within its existence, from what I've heard, so... Either way, I'll be miserably happy. Getting money.
Money, 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 money.
Not enough, but enough to live, I guess.
Yes.
Miserably.
Sad sack.
Yeah. What was that?
Oh. Playing around with cords.
Stop that, you asshole!
I was looking. It might have been a fire wire.
Now this is weird, because the last few times we've had Teg on the show, he's been playing something.
Yeah.
He doesn't have his laptop today.
So he doesn't have his laptop today. So do you feel kind of naked without it right now?
I'm always naked.
No rules. Even in public. At a playground. With kids. Naked.
No rules, no pants, no problem.
And that's why we refer to Teg as the creepy cousin.
Oh, yeah.
Joy.
So let's get right into the show. We just saw the movie Total Recall. Now, this isn't a remake of the Arnold Schwarzenegger film. This is more of a...
reboot.
Not a reboot, but... boops. A proper telling of the original Philip K. Dick story. Something, something, something has to do with retail, whatever the fucking title was. Mm-hmm. I don't read Philip K. Dick. I don't know if any of you do, but...
His name's funny. That's about it.
Can't say that I have, but...
So you don't like to talk about Dick.
This is based off a book, or something along those lines of a short story, is that what you're saying? So this is a book full of stories that this was originally a short story that they turned into a technological, like, future advanced kind of bullshit.
Right. This is the same guy who wrote Blade Runner, which was originally called Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep?
Oh, okay. What the... really?
Yeah, they do.
Blade Runner was a lot better name on that aspect. Not... yeah, okay. That's just... no.
I don't know. Electric Sheep would be an awesome prog rock band.
Probably in Japan, but not here. Not
they'd
so
be molested.
Yes.
Electrically. With wires.
Or tasers. Taser dildos. There you go.
Yeah, so if you've ever seen the first Total Recall movie, there was a whole premise of Arnold Schwarzenegger going to get on some Mars!
Yes, okay. But in Mars. He said Mars. If you
Mars!
And cookies. Mars and cookies, alright?
Yes, cookie, good enough for
but
me.
That's the one thing. They kind of did keep a lot of that stuff that was going on with the between like the main character and the and like, you know, the women. Well,
yes,
there wasn't like a real second woman. Arnold Schwarzenegger really was like running around taking care of shit himself. Besides that one, was it the black woman or something?
I don't remember.
I can't remember the whole freaking thing.
I was like 8 when I last saw this movie.
Oh god. Well, anyways, the whole setup of it almost has the same premise, but there in this sense, probably if you haven't heard this already, there's two colonies. It's part of the world, but yet there's been a big nuclear fallout in a lot of the land and whatnot.
There's gas in between uninhabitable zones. They never explain how the habitable zones are habitable, but they just are.
And there's like a giant elevator that goes between what was once Australia to what was once Great Britain.
Well, yeah, but it's also kind of like from what they showed, it was also like they had the UK, but also they had like most of Western Europe. Mm-hmm. So it looked like they had that control and whatnot.
So they kind of treated what was once Australia how Britain used to treat Australia.
Yeah.
Like the prisoners.
Well, that's what it was. I was more or less thinking that because of the concept that a lot of the the people that were in the overflown prisons back in the day of England and whatnot, they just took them, tossed them on a boat and said, get the fuck out of here. And they sent them down to Australia and they said, have fun with the natives. That's basically what they did. And that's why there's that culture down there right now.
This is Ben Blue Onyx World History Lesson of the Day.
You're welcome, fuckers.
Why aren't you a history teacher?
Well, actually, that was pretty funny because when I was taking over at Tech, where I went, we had an awesome teacher there. I won't say his name, but we had an awesome teacher there.
I had an awesome world history teacher. He used to talk about how the natives used to pick up poop all over the place.
Oh, yeah, that's fantastic.
Yes.
The history department.
On that note, let's go back to Total Recall, because this has that kind of flavor to it where they kind of treated Australia as Mars. Because it is a distance, especially, that you have to travel, but they made it seem so simple as to toss yourself in a seat that has a harness on it and drop you through the center of the Earth, which I don't know how the hell they could have done that drill. There's no fucking way they could have done that drill.
It takes 15 minutes.
And yeah, it basically takes 15 minutes to go from one side of the planet to the other one.
You see, what they did was they put a bunch of those engines on those old Concorde planes that used to go from the UK to America.
And sonic booms and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yes. And they just put a shit ton of them on the bottom of them and went, all right, let's see if this works. Hey, it does.
Did anybody see, like, a year or anything like that this was supposed to be based on?
2084.
Okay, 2084. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that doesn't seem like we'd be that far advanced, though, yet.
No.
Seeing that the way how consumer electronics fucking go now, we're going to be in this friggin' Stone Age of electronics for a while now.
I'm still waiting for my hoverboard.
Yeah, exactly.
When's that supposed to come out? 2014?
2015.
Oh, 2015.
Yeah.
All right. We can give them about a couple more years. We can give them a couple more years. We can see if it happens.
No.
And if it doesn't happen, we will raise anarchy amongst the streets.
Okay.
Is that good?
Yeah.
All right.
But for the most part, with the setup that they had, like, to go from point A to point B, it didn't make any sense because if they had the planes, right? Like, or, well, what seemed to be like a mini helicopter slash plane or something like that. They have that on the landing pads, and they would put that into a special dock. Mm-hmm. They drop that friggin' thing to the thing. Okay, let's put it this way. And what I mean on the thing and the thing is the planet. And yes, you drop that from point A to point B. Yes, there is the change of the gravitational pull,
mm-hmm,
but that doesn't, initially flip the fucking thing over. That's what I felt like they kind of fucked up on. Like, if you're pointed down, right, you go through the center of the Earth, you're still going to be pointed down. You know, your body's going to be pointed that way. Even though they had that whole rotation thing, that wasn't like it flipped the whole thing over. It just rotated it so the people's gravity would change different in from, like, being, you know, upside down when they were sitting.
Right.
So it was kind of...
And they've probably done it for many, many, many times, because you didn't see anybody in the background going, ugh! After they're doing that.
Yeah, no shit. But for myself on that one, it was kind of strange, but also, this was kind of like the 1%ers versus the 99, I guess, if you want to call it.
I was seeing the same thing, too. Kind of similar to what they did in Dark Knight Rises, where Bane and...
Yeah, it's all the poor people that are there, and they're getting oppressed, and all the rich people have their own little area, and it's like the rich people want more, so they decide to crush the poor people even more. And yeah. It's, yeah.
But it seems like in this one, like, apparently the main character, he's feeling like, oh man, I'm not... it kind of starts out funny. Like, it starts out in an action scene, more or less. He's in kind of like a hospital slash gurney or whatever.
Yep.
That's tipped over. He wakes up. He's running around trying to take care of shit, and Jessica Biel, right?
Yeah, Jessica Biel. Yeah.
Jessica Biel goes in, you know...
Did you mention it's Colin Farrell?
Colin Farrell, fine. Colin Farrell, the main character. Are you happy now?
Yeah.
Okay. No.
I'm never happy. All right, so when you go with that one, you go and, you know, run with that whole setup from that first part, and apparently he gets captured from this weird kind of gun that throws electronic... Friggin'
it's a lasso gun.
Yes, it's basically
with a gravity gun attachment.
Yeah, because you can toss the person, you know, around the room basically with it.
Yeah.
So with that said, like, he wakes up next to
somebody he thinks is his wife.
Yeah, his wife.
Kate
Beckinsale. Which? What did you feel about her? Did you think she was hot in this or not?
She had a great ass in it, at least.
Yeah, there was a nice panty shot. just putting that out there.
Okay, just making sure.
Yeah.
But who would you pick over Kate Beckinsale and Jessica Biel?
Jessica Biel.
Yeah. Three bastards out of three would pick Jessica Biel.
Yep.
Although it's, I do like Kate Beckinsale.
Yeah, it's funny how she used to be in Seventh Heaven.
Oh, God. Hated that. Anyways.
I know you did.
Fucking hated it because back in sixth grade, my teacher wouldn't shut up about it. You'd be like, yeah, did you see that? And I was like, shut up, you religious fucking, let's get back to class.
Yeah, I'm sure. So it all comes down to, it felt like the plot was very predictable and followed the other one with little references to the other one.
Yeah. It's like, oh, there was this other coworker who will say, oh, I'm going to pretend that I was on Mars. And now he's being lobotomized at the moment.
Yeah, they referenced the other one. And yes. Then they made references to when Arnold Schwarzenegger crossed through as an old lady.
2 weeks.
Yeah. And they had a whole bunch of little scenes pointing back to that one that were similar.
It was like, heh.
Yeah. Do you remember this movie? Do you remember this movie? Please like this
one. I did miss the guy who used to scream about, I got six kids! I got six kids!
Yeah.
That was funny, though. But, and there was no people with you know, mutations or whatnot. Well, besides the three boob yes, chick.
And I'm surprised.
But I'm not saying, like, in the other one where the guy had, like, a fucking fetus out of his stomach or something like that. And then, like,
you mean, like, the guy for the Hellboy
the other guy had, like, a third arm or some shit like that.
Yeah.
But I'm surprised for a PG-13 film, they actually showed the three titties.
Well, of course, because when you see the commercial, she comes up and she says that. She says the exact line that she said. Like, she's like, you're going to wish you had three hands.
Yes.
But, like, you know, that was the thing was, is like, you see that, and I went, when I first saw the commercial, and I went, three-titted chick. I know it. Already, three-titted chick right there. They already did it.
Because they referenced that in the first movie, too.
Yep. No, everything's referenced. This whole movie is just a reference back to the other
movie. But I was expecting her to have the three tits, but maybe just wearing, like, a three-titted sports bra or
sorts. Nope, she was Asian. They had to show them.
This is, in essence, a darker, less corny Total Recall than the original.
So. Yeah, they tried to kind of make it a little bit more serious and not so much of Arnold Schwarzenegger running around. And
but that's the thing. If you take the corniness out of it, it takes also a lot of the fun out of the film, too. If you, in my honest opinion.
More explosions and special effects with Total Recall without the extra comedy factor.
Right.
Yeah.
Is what this movie, it's the Batman movies, and, well, the new Spider-Man had singing and everything else in it, and it was ridiculous, so how are we going to do it? We're going to remake it, call it The Amazing Spider-Man, and make it a lot darker. And that's what they're all.
Which they did a good job with.
Yeah.
They did a good job with the new Spider-Man film. He and I were actually very surprised about it.
Yeah, it was decent, but it's that whole trend now that, well, how can we make money with movies? Let's just pull something back that we've done previously and make it darker.
Yeah.
Spider-Man, Batman, Total Recall.
Well, seeing that one's going to be coming out, Dread.
Dread, yep. So, I mean, the previews were the thing before that pretty much summed up this movie. Everything seems to be either a sequel or a reboot set in a slightly darker universe.
More or less, right. My concept is the next movie that they're probably going to do that would be an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie is Running Man. They'll probably just go and remake that, too, while they're at it.
I don't think... Nah, it can't be as good. It wouldn't be as good, because...
On the sequel thing, let me bring this up. A movie that does not have to be made, that is being made...
it's already made, basically.
Yeah.
Taken
2.
I will find you again.
Yeah.
And when I find you again, I will kill you again.
When I kill you, your kids will come after me. And then I'll kill them too and shit on their graves. Yeah. That's basically what he said. He's like, I'm going to lay waste to you, your family, and your whole friggin' town because of that's how cool Liam Neeson is.
The only realistic part of this movie that actually makes sense, the Taken 2, is the pure fact that he ran around and killed a whole bunch of people. Somebody's going to be pissed off that he killed a bunch of people. Yes. But this movie doesn't have to be made.
No, it was fine the first time around.
So Total Recall is just another darker reboot.
They have Boris from Snatch going to be the bad guy.
So
Russian guy.
So?
I like him.
I know you like him.
He's a very good actor.
But so, don't you think his acting talents should be used elsewhere?
He's been used in a lot of good movies lately, so shut up.
Okay.
I'm good with it.
I will say, though, that there was one bright, shining star in the previews. It was a movie Looper where he has to go, like, he kills people who go back in time, and basically the older version of him goes back in time. And I really hope that movie wins an award and everything with a 2, 3, 4 or reboot next to it fails horribly to that one. So should we go on the reviewing Total Recall and say what we think? Because I think I've made my
little obvious. Well, honestly, if I was to if I'm comparing the two movies, I know that the first one wasn't true to the original story. It was the more fun to watch. It was the more grittier version. It was the funnier version. It was the more entertaining version.
The rated R version.
Yeah, the rated R version. So they got away with a few things here and there. There was that whole 2 weeks ad. I loved it when he took off the head, tossed it at the garden, and the head just goes, get ready for a big surprise! Boom!
Yep.
That was one of my favorite parts in the whole film, besides the three-titted woman. And
yes, it would be besides a woman with three tits.
But I like Colin Farrell. He's a great actor. I loved him in Bruges. I loved him. I'll even say I really enjoyed him as Bullseye in Daredevil. He was probably like the only really good thing about the Daredevil movie.
Shut up, Ben Affleck's a saint!
Ugh.
I'm just joking.
And I've heard a lot about that movie London Boulevard that he did that's been on my Netflix instant queue. I've heard a lot of good things about.
Did you mention In Bruges already?
Yeah. That was the first film I mentioned.
All right, just making sure.
And he's going to be in the next next one that was written and directed by Martin McDonagh, too. The Six Kings, or whatever it's called.
Something like that. But, all right, well, what did you rate this officially?
Well,
out of five?
Out of five, I can give Total Recall a respectable maybe 3.3 out of 5, because it had its moments, but at the same time, it could have been a lot better. It should have pushed more for the R-rated. I like the actors. I especially liked seeing Bill Nye in this movie. That was a nice surprise.
Yeah.
And, you know, Bryan Cranston has always been pretty good in just about anything he's done recently. Even going so far back as Malcolm in the Middle and The Breaking Bad and Drive and the other ones that he's been in. I'll even throw in John Carter as well.
Yeah, that's true.
So 3.3 for me. And I'm not going to rush out and buy it when it comes out. It's not that type of movie for me.
Yeah, you'll probably wait until you find it in the bin for like $2. You or me?
You can go.
All right, well, I do have to give it on the selection of the people for the characters. They did do a great job on that aspect. Like Bryan Cranston, all the other characters, that, you know, the actors that play the characters. Yes, I gave it on that. Story, still a little weak, but yes, on the dark side. Crap. You know, it felt like I couldn't keep my eyes open. I know that I've been tired a lot lately, but this one wasn't keeping me awake with the action scenes. There wasn't as much of an intensity. Especially because there's a part where, like, they have robots and stuff like that that they're using. And there's this part where Kate Beckinsale is using the robot as a
human
shield. And
a robot shield.
a human robot shield, basically. So, more or less, it wasn't as action-packed as it could have been, because it seemed like not everybody was like, hey, somebody's actually going to die here or whatnot. It's just one of those things, you know. It really kind of, it fucking sucked, in my opinion. It wasn't as good as it could have been. But, I mean, still, I'm going to give it probably around a 3.6, because it's just, you know, it's kind of like on the halfway mark for me out of 5. It just seems like graphics are fucking amazing. They did a good job on that. It's just, I don't know about the storyline. It could have been a little bit better. It could have been tweaked more. It could have been, there's so much more you could have done with that fucking thing. But somebody approved it and fucking pushed it off. That's the whole thing about Hollywood now, is it's like, oh, brilliant! This is an awesome remake! I don't even want to read the script! Slap it on the ass and send it down the line. That's basically what they're doing.
Yep.
Fuck my life.
A poo made seal of approval.
Negative Nancy over there. Well, I've stated a lot. The story, like we said, was predictable. Really predictable. If you've seen the original, I was really hoping for a twist or a break from the norm. It's kind of the same, with a different setting. And,
you know, I was kind of hoping that it was all just in his head.
Yeah, it would have been great if, like, it was. And not, like, put one of those stupid little twists. Is he dreaming or not? This, like, Inception at the end. No.
It made it seem like he was dreaming.
Yeah. Is it possible? Is it? It's just, there should have been a twist or a break from the norm, and it just didn't feel like there was.
Hey, look at the spinning top over there.
And it was literally, in my opinion, this is yet another one of those TV action movies, When Crap Blows Up 5. Starring actors that we had enough money to throw at, and they were good actors and actresses and the like, but it's just the story and, you can put all the best actors in a movie, doesn't mean it's going to be the best movie, especially if the story is extremely predictable and a copy-paste of a previous story.
You could have, like, the fucking awesome lineup, you know. Yeah. Like you could do, like, Robert De Niro, Joe Pesci, all that other stuff. Oh, but if it doesn't have, like, a backbone to it, it's going to suck.
Look at The Expendables. At least that was a fun When Crap Blows Up. This one tried to be a serious When Crap Blows Up. So this, for me, is a TV movie that I'm just going to watch on TV and not probably even buy from the bargain bin. I will probably have forgotten most of this by Wednesday, so 3 out of 5. I'll watch it if it's on TV and there's nothing else on that's better than it, which there probably will be.
Yeah. Yep. Okay.
So we got 3, 3.3, 3.6, so whatever.
Yeah. 3.4 average about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is mediocre.
Okay, it's mediocre, but if you really want to go and, you know, go to the movies and fall asleep, this would be the movie to do that.
It's you're watching TV, and it's a movie you can watch on TV, and it doesn't fall in the, if it's on TV, I refuse to watch it because it's horrible, but it's not in the, I have to always watch this movie when it's on category.
Yeah.
It's the, meh, I'll wait until something good comes on.
Yeah.
All right, so more or less, let's move on.
Okay, let's move on to the video games that have come out this past week. Some demos that came out, one full-length title I've been trying out, and one full-length title that you're going to talk about that I've already reviewed on the website, but
hey, I'll talk about it, whatever.
Get your sense. So the first game we'll talk about is Transformers Fall of Cybertron from High Moon Studios. They did the last couple Transformers video games, which were pretty good. They were very close to canon.
I'll call them fair.
Fair, okay.
I'll call them fair. You call them whatever you want.
Okay, maybe fair is a better title. You know, I'm very excited because next game that they're working on is the Deadpool one, which I have a lot of high hopes for.
Yeah, but I just, like I'm saying, like that's the whole thing about having hopes in the gaming industry lately. It's just like...
No.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you.
Don't hope.
Just play it when it comes out and... And when you play it, and you'll find it out yourself. No hope, so you don't get your hopes and dreams just smashed into little pieces.
Okay, maybe that's it's a grim way of looking at it, but it's more of a realist.
I feel fucking grim today. Shut up. Let's do this.
You're a realist.
Thank you.
Okay, so the demo here gave you 2 levels of trial plus an online multiplayer team deathmatch mode. Mm-hmm. So. So the first level, you play as the character of Bumblebee. And this is more close to the cartoon Bumblebee. This is not like the stupid...
Hey, look, it's a Camaro.
Yeah, it's not like the stupid one that talks through...
His voice box?
Through the voice box.
No, not the voice box, the radio.
Yeah, talk through the radio. He actually has his own damn voice. So you have to bring Bumblebee to the control center, reboot the ship's defense power, while defeating off all the Decepticons that are smashing through Optimus Prime's ship, and all anarchy is breaking loose, and you see your planet in the background just, like, getting blown the fuck up.
Much as my home town gets blown up.
And then in the second level, you play as it's not the Decepticons... It's not the Autobots. What's the third one? The one that was led by Starscreamer.
Shit, if I know.
No, it's Stars. No, that it would be the Decepticon. Starscream was a Decepticon.
Yeah,
you're talking about the ancient ones.
Yeah, there's the ancient.
What they were.
So this one, so this second level, it has you play as the character Vortex, and you've got to get into the center of the Autobots bridge, which is where their whole energy system is, and you gotta blow that up. But in the demo, you don't get to blow it up, which made me really sad because I wanted to see what happened next.
Yeah, well, they're not gonna give it to you.
Yeah.
You're gonna have to buy the game.
This is where the screen pops up and says, hey, you wanna buy the full version? Do it now.
Yeah. No. And the full version comes out, I think at the end of the month?
I think so, yeah.
So, the gameplay is very similar to the first game. Loads of good action to be found. It gives you a chance to battle out in the different modes of Transformers. You can either, battle it out as the robot version, or you can transform into the car and just run shit over, which is always fun.
As good as the last one, or?
So far, it looks like it's as good as the last one. Not talking about the movie-based Dark of the Moon one, which was crap. But
I didn't mind it so much. There was some action in there that was pretty good. Like the building splitting in two and them sliding floor to floor.
Yeah. You see, Blanc and I having a bit of an argument over...
You son of a bitch.
If the third Transformers movie was any good at all. He said it was. I thought it was so crap.
I'm saying it's not fucking the best movie out there. I'm saying that it was at least...
I feel like it shit all over the franchise.
I look at Transformers, and the first thing I think is I want to see cars and robots and they'll beat the crap out of each other. And this is a movie that should be random crap blows up, five or whatever. I expect it to be not let's walk around and see Shia LaBeouf have a comedy act with his parents for, 45 minutes long. I want to see cars beat the crap out of each other, and yeah.
Well, Dare to Be Stupid by Wheelbarrow.
Yeah, but instead I'm watching Shia LaBeouf sneak around his house trying to hide whatever girlfriend he has at the time from his parents. So.
Yes. Megan Fox with her toe thumb.
Is this your special time?
Mom, shut up!
Are you masturbating?
Oh my god, it's Megan Fox! She's so hot! I'm sorry about that conversation you heard about him whacking his weasel.
Shut up and let's watch cars beat each other up.
Wow, these brownies are so good! Whoa, I'm tripping balls here!
You don't have balls, Mom.
I'm tripping my veg out then!
But this video game so far, it's very nicely detailed too. Even you can even see like the rust on like Optimus Prime's chest.
There's rust? Uh-oh.
Yes. He's old. Aren't like the Transformers like millions of years old?
No. But he demodeled himself after a car with rust. I mean, Bumblebee at least picked a brand new car. So.
Well, he didn't start out as a brand new car.
Yeah.
For him to transform to scan a new vehicle or something like that, does it matter? Because
you were saying when he's walking around form, he has rust on it.
Yeah,
but when he pops into a car, does he?
No,
I see the rust on him being more of a sign that he's old in this. So yeah. And it's less. Did they purposely put it on because he picked a car with rust, or did they put it on because they're trying to convey that he's starting to get old, and they're debating on maybe moving on to a new leader for their faction?
Well, it could be a new leader thing. Yeah. This is the fall of Cybertron, this video game is titled, yeah. So it could also be the fall of Optimus Prime. Because remember, Optimus Prime did die in the Transformers cartoon movie.
So I don't see them going anywhere specifically like that to make canon big altering decisions and the like with this series. So I think that's more of, we'll put body rust on for an aesthetic instead of a storyline choice.
All right.
Maybe. But it would be great if somehow this gets out there. Maybe they do that and make Transformers interesting for a change instead of having Shia LaBeouf make cracks with his parents.
He hates Shia LaBeouf.
I'm sorry, I'm sitting there looking at the new Lord of the Rings, The Hobbit, and I see that it's probably going to be a trilogy. It's the shortest of the books, and you're going to turn it into three movies? We're getting a little carried away here. One movie that's really good, okay, but three on The Hobbit?
Yeah, right. That's one of those things.
Yeah, well, we're going to see it anyway, aren't we?
It's Shia LaBeouf.
Well, Shia LaBeouf's not in the Hobbit films.
Yeah, I know, but I just don't like anything he's around at the moment.
Yeah. Okay. But
compared to Hobbits, no kidding.
But for the most part, this Final Cybertron game looks good. It controls well. The only thing I have an issue with the controls is I need to learn not to push down so hard when using the control stick, because when you push down the control stick, like, it lets off like a rocket or something, and I really want to save the rockets for when there's like shit tons of robots that need to be blown up around you.
Basically, so, you don't know how to use a controller.
I know how to use a controller, it's just I'm still not used to like the L3 and R3, as they sometimes like to call it.
Yeah. At least they didn't put like.
Yeah, is this Xbox?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
At least they didn't restrict his movement to the D-pad instead or something, because there are games who do that. Oh, I got a great idea. Let's hard set all these things that are normally like shooting. Let's put them somewhere else, like the Y button or something. It's like it triggers there for a reason.
All right. And granted, you know, back in the old days that would have been fine, but in the newer games, we want to have a little bit more control and options.
Well, there's default setups for this thing, and everybody expects the analog sticks to move a character, and it's just upsetting when I see game designers say, well, we're going to make it something else.
Right. But anyway, but so far, Transformers Fall of Cybertron, it's
looking
one of
good.
It's looking good. It makes me want to just take Michael Bay and like smash his head against the television while I play the game, going, this is how you should have done it, Mr. Bay. This is how you don't fuck up a franchise.
Yeah, well, his next franchise to fuck up is Turtles.
Don't get me started on that.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Oh, if you want to screw up, we saw the preview for the new James Bond, and I heard that he's not going to be doing vodka martinis, I believe. So.
Damn it! I love James Bond being an alcoholic.
He's drinking, like, rum and coke or something is now his new thing. It's something ridiculous.
We'll have to see. I think it's, like, Bacardi or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, I heard he wasn't drinking martinis anymore.
Well, with the shit he has to go through on a daily basis, you know, he would want a mix.
He's drinking 151.
So, earlier, you brought up the Expendables.
Yes.
There's a new Expendables 2 video game that just came out.
Yeah.
Were you either play as Sylvester Stallone's character, Dolph Lundgren's character, Jet Li's character, or Terry Crews? I originally thought the Jet Li character was Chuck Norris. Because that's how bad the graphics
are. I thought it was funny when I saw the trailer for this, because it starts off with, like, Dolph Lundgren and Terry Crews going, you know, what the hell, man? They're beating the crap out of the camera. You know, like, they're beating on him and stuff like that. And they're like, thousands of missions. Multiple, like, just like, they keep on saying the number of bullets, the number of deaths, all this other stuff. You got us killed that many times, jerk. You know, or something like that. It's like, then it looks like he's got handcuffs on. And then the next minute he looks up and he looks back down. He's got a controller in his hand and he's trying to play the game or something like that. Which I'm like, oh no, am I going to get my ass whipped every time by Dolph Lundgren and Terry Crews when I die?
Well, they're the only two people who actually lended their voice to the video game.
Oh, great.
Like, Sylvester Stallone, you can actually understand what he's saying in this game, so I don't know if that's an upgrade or a downgrade. And then Jet Li may be just some random Asian actor that they got. So, in the video game version of this, you start out, like, you gotta clear out this area of all these rogue soldiers, and then you gotta search for this sniper who runs away and you don't even get to kill anyway. And when I was playing this game, I was hoping, when I was hearing about Expendables 2, I was thinking, okay, so the Expendables movies are throwback to the 1980s movies and all that fun shit, where shit was blown up and everything was hunky-dory, good time. I was expecting the video game version of this to be more contra-based, more akin to, like, the old school style of side scroll or beat 'em ups.
It's not first person. It's not third person. It's side scroll.
Side scroll, yeah. But here,
what the fuck?
They did the over the top. You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of that horrible, ugly Americans video game that came out last year. It played just like that.
Don't fucking remind me of that game. When I tried that thing, I deleted it as soon as possible because it was absolute crap.
Hey, I had to buy the whole thing to review it.
No.
You're looking at the death of the video game industry. Between Activision, EA, and the film studio making stuff for money, it's starting to get ridiculous. I love these smaller companies who say specifically, I have a great idea to make a game, let's run with this and see how fun it is. Not like, I have an idea to copy this thing that makes money so I can make money. So, like, every single movie does not need a game to come out with it.
Right.
And every single game out there does not need 8 to 9 sequels, expansions with DLC, full-fledged, and
Call of Duty.
The Expendables game, simply say, we're making a new movie. Pick some random studios and tell them, you have 3 months to make a game. Have fun failing at the game and making something horrible with no soul. It's just wrong.
Right.
Why even spend the money? Some people end up buying these games, and I feel
bad for them.
If they're actually making money off of this, I mean, it's ridiculous.
I mean, you heard how horrible the Battleship movie video game was.
I did.
Horrible. Yeah. Oh my god. I was watching videos on the actual gameplay and also a couple other reviews on it.
Yeah, I was watching Angry Joe one.
Did this game have a demo?
Shit.
No.
Oh, yeah. Don't buy. If it's a video game, if it's a movie game or something else, and you're somebody who plays games, if you haven't figured this out already, do not play the game if it doesn't have a demo. There's a reason they don't release a demo. or when they're showing a trailer, they don't show the in-game footage of how it plays, is because they're trying to hide something horrible.
Right.
Until you spend money and you can't get it back.
I mean, it's not like where they didn't come out with a demo for Batman Arkham City, because you knew that that game was going to be awesome.
Oh,
but
yeah.
when there's a game that comes out and it doesn't come out with a demo beforehand for you to try out before you purchase the whole thing, yeah. And if it's based on a movie or something like that...
Odds are it's crap.
Yeah.
Wait for people who professionally review to review it, watch the gameplay and go, would I like playing this? And odds are, with a movie game, 90% of the time, it's no.
Yes.
It's puking in the barrel.
Yeah.
Guts all over the floor. It sucks.
Yeah, and Expendables 2 is an example of how to do movie-based video games wrong. It's one of those titles that is like, I felt like most of the time I was slouching in my seat, you know, playing this game, trying not to fall asleep, going, okay, blew that up, ooh, blah, 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 ooh, ooh.
So what you're saying is it's fun for maybe kiddies, but yet they'll get bored with it too because of their ADD expansion friggin' attention span, I mean, will, like, be dead.
I feel like if you gave this game to a toddler, the toddler would look right at your face and go fuck yourself. Yeah. That'll be the first words out of their mouths, go fuck yourself.
Another soulless video game made for... some stupid reason to make money.
I will say, though, the other level they gave you to try, where you got to blow shit up in a helicopter, it was decent. Not great. It was decent. Like, maybe the game should have been more of that, and not over the top, just blow up random buildings and shoot random people.
The game should have been, like you said, a side-scroller like the old 1980s Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or something along the lines of
yes.
Street Fighter.
Yes.
Scrolling sideways, randomly hitting things. And it should have not had a huge... They should have, as soon as they had the idea for the Expendables 2, they should have told the team, you have plenty of time, make a fun game, instead of something like they usually do. We want this out before the release of the movie or on the day of the release. Otherwise, we're going to find some way to steal it.
Well, they advanced it in before the movie came out, so I don't know if that's a good idea. Seeing that the game... Sounding that it sucks, big donkey dick.
No, it seems like it's rushed, and it seems like this is another studios who got forced into it. So,
right.
Another way to make some
more people should learn from when Ubisoft did the Scott Pilgrim video game. Because that was a fantastic side-scroller, old-school, beat-em-up type of game.
Yeah,
that's its own genre. This is like somebody out of left field that was like, oh, they didn't have a video game? Let's go do a video game.
Well, we're making,
I like video game.
We're making a movie. You know what the kids like these days? They like a game. We'll make our game to go with
the movie. Well, okay, let's put it this
way. Can we do this in 3 months? We're going to make it happen in 3 months.
They did like the Hulk video game. And then they did the other one where it was the Iron Man 1 and Iron Man 2 video games. They didn't do an Iron Man... I don't know if they're going to be doing an Iron Man 3 video game.
Well, they're coming out with an Avengers game at the end of the year.
Yeah, but that's... I don't know how good that's going to be, but I'm just saying...
I heard good things over at E3.
Could you imagine how awesome it would be if a team could sit down with the Iron Man franchise and make a game where you could fly around and assault stuff on a humongous map that you can explore and put missions in? How great it would be. But
yeah, they need to make it more like a kind of like a Grand Theft Auto Saints Row kind of free access, like of the planet.
I mean, they kind of did that with the Incredible Hulk video game, but
yeah, the Incredible Hulk video game was pretty awesome because you could go around and do what they did in the Rampage video game, which is go around and smash buildings, but in a 3D sense, where you can actually go down the street, jump on the building, jump on top of it, and smash the thing until it falls down.
And you can pick up random people and throw them at the buildings too.
Exactly.
The things that kill most of these games is the stupid film companies say, we want to out when the movie comes out. If you actually give them time, you'll get a game like GoldenEye, which wasn't tied to it and was simply amazing.
Yep.
It was so simple, but it was also amazing at the same time.
It was a great...
It was a groundbreaker.
Yeah, and it followed the movie's plot, but it wasn't dependent on when the movie released, and they took time, and it was simply a really in-depth, amazing AAA title at the time.
Agreed.
So, spend more time making your games if you're going to.
Yeah.
Yeah, take as much time as you need, but, you know, but that's the old thing is when people are in a business sense, when they're in business mode, they're like, let's put this fucking thing out as fast as we can so we can make money.
Right.
Yeah.
They need to be more
and
in the creative
later.
They need to be more in the creative mode, not business
games
mode.
Games are not movies, and there are deadlines that need to be made, and you cannot rush
right
without consequences.
Exactly, exactly.
And the movie industry has no idea what they're doing. All right.
So the other game I got to play was called Deadlight. And a lot of people were...
Thanks to me.
Yeah, thanks to you. Well, I got to try the trial first, and then he gave me the review code. I'll be putting a fuller review when I beat the game, hopefully either at the end of this week, because I beat this other game that I just finished up, and we'll be writing a review of, hopefully within the next couple of days. Deadlight, a lot of people are comparing it to the game Shadow Complex, and I was surprised you didn't like Shadow Complex.
That piece of crap, it's a side-scroller, right? Yeah. 3D side-scroller? That thing sucked big, giant donkey dick. I'm sorry, that game, when I remember the review I told talked about on this game, and I remember talking about how much it sucked. I said, I can't believe this game got friggin' awards that year. I can't believe it got awards.
All right.
That game, fuck those people that did that game. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Fuck that. No, thank you.
Okay.
Kiss my ass.
So this is like Shadow Complex with zombies. And take earlier, not on the show, but before we recorded, you made the point that everyone's doing fucking zombies.
Yeah, everyone is doing zombies. It's the new
They're
fad.
Just expecting it to actually happen.
I mean, they're off and on throughout the years. There have been decent zombie movies, and I think The Walking Dead has brought the zombie fad right back again. So you're seeing a lot more zombie stuff. Granted, The Walking Dead video game that's on Steam, the adventure one, is amazing, and the moral choices are based on the books, and it's a great game.
Mm-hmm.
If you're gonna do zombies, it's not about running around and killing zombies. It's about the characters.
Yes.
And Left 4 Dead was successful because the characters not only were likable, but they were also your friends.
Pills, man! Gotta get the pills!
You know, it was just fun. And just everything throws zombies in for the pure sake of zombies. And,
but I feel like they did something really right with Deadlight so far, and yeah. It's about survival. It's not about kill as many zombies as you can. It's about running away from as many zombies as you can without having to use either bullets or your strength to take
them
down.
The Silent Hill formula for 1 and 2.
Right.
Actually be scared because you don't have what you need to kill mass amounts of people like normal action games.
And I want to throw in one other game here that it's kind of similar to because it has that shadowy feel and that aura that something bad's about to happen. Limbo.
Ah, yes.
Limbo was a very good game, and there are elements of Limbo to be found in here so far.
Limbo.
There is the premise where you got to reunite with your friends and family, but you have no idea if your family is still alive. Mm. And right now, I just finished up a level where you're like in an underground area, and there's this guy known as the Rat, who has set up all these traps, and you got to get through them in order to move on to the next level. And the traps are tricky. There's a lot of challenge things. It's one of those games where you got to like keep on redoing some things over and over again until you figure out, okay, this is the proper path I got to take in order to move on to the next chapter.
Yeah.
And I like this about Deadlight so far. I mean, it's not a perfect game. I don't plan on giving it like a perfect, super high score. I plan to give it more of a respectable score when I'm done with the game. But so far, I'm very happy with it. There's a good sense of when you do have to fight off the undead, it's not that much of a... It's enough of a challenge without it feeling frustrating. It's cool how detailed they got with the graphics and the background, too. Because instead of having the zombies right there and there on your path in side-scroller, they'll come from you from the background. Like, they'll come start chasing you from right then and there.
Yep.
And they did a really good job with that. And I've been surprised so far with what I've seen here. Shooting is easy when you need to do it. Using the battle axe to chop up zombies when you need to works very well. And I like this whole setup where it doesn't take place in the future, but rather in more of an alternate universe, 1986 Seattle.
Hmm.
So instead of it taking place in the present or future, you're looking at an alternate version of the past.
Yep.
Which is pretty cool. Like, instead of... It mentions how like the Russians are up in space right now, and they may be hinting on the fact that this was caused by like the USSR, some sort of chemical warfare, and
yeah.
That's how the zombies might have come to be.
I think it's going to be the South Park basis one, where the satellite crashes down and kills a bunch of people, and everybody turns into zombies that way.
There needs to be a movie or something along the line. I was talking about this yesterday. We were watching 28 Days Later, me and my roommate.
Which is one of the best zombie movies out there, in my opinion.
We were watching it, and everything with a zombie basis, somebody's waking up for a coma, or coming out of an experiment, or coming out of some shelter sometime after the invasion. I would love to see a movie that's during the invasion, that's like all the crap starts going down instead of somebody wakes up and everything's destroyed.
And I know they're trying to do that with the World War Z film. Like, they want to show you how it happened.
It'd be great, because I was in there, sadly it was in French, and I wanted to watch the movie Contagion, and it looked like that might be it, but that's more of a plague and less of a zombie. Yeah. I'd love to see that whole, this is what's happening, this is the family in peril, instead of just guy wakes up in hospital room, gets gun, doesn't know what's going on, finds out it's zombies for some reason. Nobody in these movies knows about zombies and continues on. I understand that fact to say, okay, if they know about zombies during a zombie invasion, that'd be kind of stupid. But the pure fact is I want to see the actual battle, and they can be clueless if they want. It could be emergency.
So you want, instead of them just doing the usual bullshit where, like, when they show about it. Well, no. Not only that, but when they do kind of show it, it's usually, like,
5 minutes.
Recorded shit from, like, England, where they're, like, dealing with the riots and all that other stuff. It's like,
bullshit.
You know, like how Land of the Dead did it, where they were, when they were showing, like, how it was starting, but it was just, like, people talking on the news, and priests and all this other stuff, and then like they're showing like vans run through people and all this other shit.
For something like 28 Days Later, having a movie say 0 days later, as stupid as that sounds, where, because the whole thing was caused by infected chimps, and people get rage, or they get bit, they transform, and they watch a small town get taken over, and then the citizens of that rush into a slightly bigger one, and then they just build and utterly annihilate England, and to watch all that go down.
I just thought of something. You're gonna laugh when I know you're gonna make a joke as soon as I say this.
Yeah.
An anime that came out.
Make a joke.
An anime that came out a couple years ago called High School of the Dead, and it actually showed like where the zombies came from. It showed it like first off where it happened, how it happened. And then it gets into all the survivors trying to survive.
It's not exactly how it's made. It's to watch Patient Zero get infected, and then how he spreads it to a group of people that end up annihilating a town. What I want to see.
Okay, well,
starting from Patient Zero, it's not how. It's just Patient Zero infects two or three people. Those two or three walk into a concert, and then the concert storms.
I know one movie
town.
That almost did that. The Crazies. The Crazies. They basically it was not really zombie based, but it was like the people that went crazy and stuff like that. It kind of showed who went crazy beforehand. And
yeah, and High School of the Dead was more like Patient 8 was like the first person.
Because we end up seeing like these movies where whole towns and cities are utterly annihilated. I'd like a movie where the wave builds and you get to see it happening, and it's. It'd just be great to have that.
All right. Well, Deadlight, unfortunately, you don't see that happening. It happens more like in the middle of it all.
Yeah.
Like, that. In fact, that's what he says
Bruce
in the beginning.
Point.
This is what the narrator says, the character you play is, this isn't the beginning of the story. This isn't the end. This is just another day in the life.
Yeah. Everybody's done that. As long as it's character-centric and the like, and you get a good story, and it's not focused on the zombie invasion, then fine. But I want to see that start, and I think somebody one day, hopefully World War Z, they'll come out with that whole idea of how it started and the whole step through the initial infection, and it'll just be an amazing movie, I think, if you can depict that the right way.
Okay.
And original for a change.
Yes.
With zombies, and originality usually don't go hand-in-hand, but
yeah.
Zombies.
But for Deadlight, so far I can give it a good 4 out of 5. Like, it's not a high score, but it's something that I so far can recommend. A full review will probably come either this week or next week, so we'll see if it gets any better or if there's some fuck-ups here and there. A video game I got to review a couple weeks ago called Wrecketeer, Blue Onyx was able to get his hands on and play on his own.
Yay! He was playing with himself.
What? Not again. Okay, maybe it was. Alright, so, the only problem I have with my room, well, at least I got to play it over here at the King's Castle.
Yes.
The problem that I have in my room is my couch is in the way. Apparently, because what it is at one point, it says, the automatic loader broke on the, what was it, the launcher?
Yes.
Okay. I want to call it the catapult, but it's kind of like a big version of a...
crossbow.
Crossbow, yeah, that's what I would say. So, what it is there's one point where you have to make sure that you're standing in front, and then you grab the actual ball. Shut up. Shut up, Tag.
You're grabbing the balls.
Yes, I'm grabbing the balls.
Alright.
So you grab the ball, or whatever device that's going to...
Then you stroke the shaft.
I hate it so much. So
and
you put
then you
it on there,
the gravy.
And then what you do is you put your hands together, and then you pull. You step back, and what that does is it creates the whole...
All right, you're tugging on the shaft after caressing the balls. Move on.
You pull back, and then what you
you're
do
pulling
is
out.
You see, you aim up or down, depending on the whole setup. I hate you.
Where's the face?
Wherever the friggin' thing you're trying to shoot at, which is should be a castle, it's filled with goblins or whatever the hell you want to call
it. So that's what they're calling it nowadays.
Yes. And then what you do is you let go, and then you control the friggin' flight of the object that you shot with your arms. God.
Hey. I had to put up with it when you made fun of me on the podcast. You're talking about Kinect games.
I'm sorry, but you know there is. It is funny when you're playing a Kinect thing and you're trying to act in front and you're trying to do things in front of the TV. If somebody walks in, they're like, "What the hell is wrong with you?" But in my case, at my house, I have to switch it to my second TV in my game room. So what you could do is you could actually step back. But when I try to step back, it's, oh, crap, couch, and fall down and bang my head off the wall.
It's a mistake with a Kinect. You need a movie theater size room.
Yeah. That's the only thing with the Kinect sensor that I have an issue with, that if you've been reading some of my articles that I've put up, I mainly said Kinect has the issue if you don't have enough room. Like, you know, when I talked about Kinect's sports season 2.
Yes.
There's a part where you have to kick a ball through for the field goal, and I go, oh, God, that hurt. I just chop my ankle off the friggin' back of the couch because I can't friggin' kick through. So, yeah, it's one of those things that it's... Yes,
size does matter
when you're playing with Kinect. And not in the pants. In the room. I have to specify that because Tag's here. But somehow he'd still make fun of it. He's just trying to hold his tongue. But for the most part, it is a fun game because of the way you have to actually, you know... it's more physical where you could set up the shot. You can move side to side in the room. Pulling back on the... I'm looking at him. He's trying to come up with something.
No, I have stuff. I have plenty of ammunition for this.
So you pull back on the catapult, and you let it go, and then you try to take down the building. It's basically like 3D versions of Angry Birds as the king. I'm quoting the king on this one.
Yes.
And I have to say that it's like a 3D version in kind of real time of taking down buildings. And I have to say that this is an awesome game.
And that's how babies are made.
Yes, babies are made that way.
But of course, those aren't the only sort of ammunition you can use.
There's... Well, no. I'm saying like that. Like I said, I was trying to with the whole laugh riot here, you jerk. That there are different ammunitions. Like, I mean, they have the usual stones. Then they have like these other ones that actually pop out wings, so you can get more control on them, like up and down. And that's the other thing is that as bad as this is going to sound right now, when you shoot a ball, you can wave your arm at it or smack the ball down in or the direction up or down. God damn it, that hurts.
I don't even have to say anything.
Yeah, exactly.
This one's running itself. But I'm kish.
Thank you so much, Tag. Anyways, but more or less, you can control the ball while in air. God, I give up. I'm going to give this game a 4.3 out of 5. It's that good. Whatever. I hate you all. I'm done. You suck.
But didn't you enjoy, like, hitting goblins and... the little hidden things you can find here and there while you play the game.
Yeah, it was cool that, like, you were able to actually aim the friggin' thing through, like, shields that, you know, got you more points for whatever you took down. So yes. If you hit that perfect, you take down the actual castle and the goblins and whatever. And not hobgoblins, just goblins.
Yep.
Bunch of little ash-dwelling little goblins.
Yes.
More or less, as I wanted to call them.
Because wearing weird clothing.
Yeah, they took over castles and whatever, and you had to knock down the castles to get them out of the castle, which makes perfect sense. But, it's a fun little game. It's mainly for family and whatnot, and maybe drinking games, I don't know.
Yeah, and competitive people. It's like, I got this score!
With Billy from Structure Gaming, oh my god, you know. Like, he's, like, almost on top of everything every time we play something. Like, Trials Evolution, I've gotten, like, about 30... I've gotten about... I want to say about 60% of all, like, the high-top stuff, and the rest is him.
Yeah. That's what happens when you play a good game. You get so competitive. I try to avoid the whole competitive thing because then you're, like, stuck on the game for hours on end. And then you get the whole, time vampire thing happening to you.
Oh, definitely.
And I try to avoid that because I know, Tag, you're into Terraria, correct?
Game has to catch me to get that time sink anymore. The levels and stuff, there's a lot. I can't get into that stuff.
That anymore. Or if you can't make a something that looks something sexual.
Like a wiener.
Yes, like a wiener or some boobs or something.
Terraria is good because of the progression system. And the pure fact that I can just randomly build crap. I can stop digging and mining and killing stuff and go, I feel like building a humongous candy cane castle.
I'm sorry, right dinging? Now. What's dinging?
Digging.
Oh, digging. I thought you said dinging. D-I-N-G.
No, digging.
There are no levels, so I cannot ding in this game.
Well, no, that's the only thing about that is that it has a random generator in the start of it anyway.
So, that's all I got for the agenda today. Is there anything you two want to throw in for the show?
I have not been around for the week, but I have plenty of games on the back burner. I will give out a shout-out to a different game that I played a while back. I don't think I did. Endless Space.
No.
I was playing game Endless Space. Picture a turn-based game where you can construct your ships much like... what is it? I can't remember. Well, you can construct your ships. You can put what weapons you want on it. There's a beautiful little tech tree. Take over planets, terraform them, all turn-based combat in the upper half. The interesting little spin is when you're actually going to combat with fleets, it turns into a card-based combat game where you throw out tactic cards for three different sections. So you pick it, and there's like 30 seconds for you to pick each section as it goes through. And that's based on what your ship's modifiers are and what the enemy's tactic is versus yours. You can counter their tactic and try to predict what's happening. So it was an interesting little combat system. The flaw with the game, though, that I see, their tech tree has a lot of 5 more damage to this or 6 more damage to that or 4 more shields. That was a bit of a pain for the pure reason that, it's not sparkly and it doesn't shine and make me look, make me happy.
It's not all sparkly glowy?
So you'll put a point, you'll put a point in something and it is doing damage. You really don't get the feedback that it is. Their tech tree is huge, so it's kind of hard to find some things. And the weapons, a lot of them are upgrades more than side grades, so you're putting a little bit more powerful of a gun. But it's a great tactic, an amazing indie game. It was going through its, I think it might be in beta now, I'm not sure. It was in alpha or beta. I remember if you got the game, you could go on the forums, and the community was voting and making suggestions for the developers on how to actually build the game. So you say, I have this idea. And because you purchased it, if you purchase the special edition, you get a few more points, and you use these points towards votes for that item. So if you really want something, you throw all your votes towards it, and hopefully it passes.
That's not a bad idea.
So it's more of a community influence game.
Yeah, but all you need is that one asshole that will just swing vote everything.
Well, then he has to buy another copy of the game to get more votes.
No. But I'm just saying, like, he'll get all his friends that might be on the thing to swing vote it and do something to it.
Well, the developers are only going to allow you to vote and propose ideas for things that they believe should be in the game. I don't think, because there are some people like, well, that combat should change. It's like, no, the combat is unique. I've barely seen a space game with this. I've seen a few other games that have similar combat, but it was a good mention. It was a good little refresher strategy game, so I thought I would throw the shout out for it. It's a PC game. It's on Steam. I think it's like $20. I can look it up.
Okay.
So
awesome. Now maybe I could just quickly just say a word about Spec Ops: The Line.
Sexy.
We've talked with the creators of these guys. Well, not the creators, but the head writer and the lead designer of this game, and he told us what we were in for. And I gotta tell you, after playing this game, after beating it, after getting all four endings,
give me mine now.
You will never want to play another Call of Duty or Battlefield game after you play this game.
Wait, you mean you still want to play those? I haven't wanted to play those.
Well, I'm talking to everyone who still wants to play those games. This game will make you not want to play the other ones anymore because it's one of those games. Not to spoil anything, but instead of rewarding you, it fills you with regret for what you just had to do.
Yay!
Oh, that sounds like a great selling point. Yeah, the story I hear for this game is amazing, and just up front, it was just a great idea. Did you guys get a chance to try the multiplayer?
I did try a little bit of the multiplayer. It's good. It could have been better, but
I like your case because it says includes FUBAR pack.
Yeah.
I like that.
Because I got the special edition version.
No, premium.
Premium. Yes, premium. But if you haven't gotten Spec Ops: The Line, do it.
At least try out the demo and you might get hooked.
Yeah. And by the way, I found out who does that song that's in that level that we were playing.
Yeah.
Surprisingly enough, you and I have seen them live. They opened up for Queens of the Stone Age called the Black Angels.
Oh, those sons of bitches, the ones that were like
the barefooted guitarist.
Yes, the barefooted guitarist, because I remember there was the French guy with the pink shoes and like looked like Jesus, but then there was the other group that was like the you've got to, like, basically trip on acid while...
Yep, that's them.
Okay.
We saw them live.
Interesting.
So, in other words, if you want a good story, and you don't feel like wasting money on COD for 15 minutes of an average story, buy this game.
Yeah, it's got the main storyline will take you about 7-8 hours to play, but it's a great story.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
Well, that's because of the fact that it's based on... What's that story again?
Heart of Darkness.
Thank you. Heart of Darkness.
Influenced by Heart of Darkness. And just what you find out throughout the game, it's one of those titles that you're going to remember for years.
Yeah.
Like, when I played this game, like, there were moments where, like, my jaw dropped. I was like, oh my god, what have I done?
See, that was the thing. When I asked them in person, I said, okay, when I played Homefront, there was a bit of good jaw-dropping moments in that because of the fact that there was... There was the whole part where the parents get killed right in front of the baby.
Yeah.
And I said, now that is pretty demented and on my level and stuff like that. How about this game? And they even said that some of the people that they had testing the game or whatnot said that they actually had to put the controller down and say, that was some fucked up shit, guys, and walk out of the room for a second so they can, you know, kind of like... mentally take it all in and like try to compute it and make it see make sense.
Yep, it is one of those games, and I know I talked about Max Payne 3 on the last episode being my pick so far. While this does have some flaws that still puts Max Payne 3 on the top,
this is a close run up, right?
This is so close. Like the shit that happens in the Max Payne series does not compare to what happens in this game. And I can easily say that because 2K and Rockstar are owned by the same company, the Take-Two people. So they're like, I reckon that they'll both be happy about that.
Yay!
So a full review of Spec Ops: The Line will be up hopefully sometime this week, maybe by the time this podcast airs. But I say right now, buy it. Get it. You will be immensely surprised by it.
Yeah.
Oh, for some reason, I find that I have spare time, which I haven't gone back to work yet and seen, done anything. I will probably end up buying the Skyrim Dawn Guard and see how that is. But that's another if I have time thing. But odds are, if you have Skyrim, you already know whether or not you're going to buy Dawnguard.
Yeah.
Skyrim's that type of game.
Yeah, Bethesda comes out and goes, ooh, mine.
Either you love it or you hate it, and there's usually not an in-between. And if they fix the combat so I feel less of, I'm level 30, I can annihilate anything with two shots, then I'll be happy.
You mean like what they did in Dragon's Dogma?
I got a bunch of mods to make the game harder, and I was going to go back to playing it, but I had too much stuff to do in camping, and I never did.
Okay. That's cool.
We'll see.
All right. I think we can...
we can cut it off.
Yeah, we can cut it off right then and there. So remember, visit our website at b3crew.com for recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew. If you have any questions, comments, anything you would like us to talk about, you can reach us at thebastardsatbostonbashbrigade.com. I'm on Twitter at king_baby_duck. Blonic's on as Blonic. And I believe your tag 866.
It doesn't matter. I don't even update it.
We're also on Facebook.com/Boston Bastard Brigade, or otherwise, if you've got the search bar, it's just typing in Boston, and hopefully we'll pop up right there. You'll see the Boston Bastard Brigade symbol. Not the one with the weird little devil sign on it.
Yeah.
Do the one with the actual symbol, because we're not using that one anymore.
Yes.
We're able to actually track everything, and we've been doing pretty well. We've broken 100.
We broke 100! Yay!
We're up to, I think, about 103 now.
104.
Okay, 104. I'm sorry.
It's like that Facebook thing, the social network movie. We're going to count it, we're going to have a big screen, we're all going to get rich, and who's going to be the douchebag Mark Zuckerberg?
Yeah.
I probably will be.
Yeah.
I'm a douche.
So, more or less, you can go on that and check us out there. I also want to say thanks for Cage Titans for letting us come to their past two events and whatnot. They were absolutely amazing.
Oh, yeah. Especially the one up in New Hampshire, dude.
New Hampshire, Dover, New Hampshire was amazing. And we got some great pictures up there. We also got some great pictures over there. So if you guys got, if you're listening to this podcast and you might have gone to that event, we do have pictures up. So if you want to like them or like our page, go on to our Facebook and like us there and check out the pictures and everything that we did.
And also, we need to give them a big congrats because their last event sold out.
Yeah, their last event was a sellout. And I never knew that there was that many people that could fit in Plymouth Memorial Hall, let alone, like, they had, like, really, like, limited space. And I mean limited space for us press because there was that much press.
Nice.
Yeah, so...
All right, so game developers out there, if you want to compete with like the UFC and that crappy Bellator, hint, talk to Mike over there and say, hey, let's make a Cage Titans video game.
Yeah, exactly, but make the controls work for
us. Yeah, yeah.
All right, I think more or less we have like other people like Matt the Wad and all our other affiliates that we like so much to talk about that
game
I don't
reaction.
Feel like going through right now because it's so freaking tough. But we can always step over to Esh and say hello, thank you again.
Yes, all those people over there.
Yes, so
our friends, Electric Sisterhood.
I'm more or less good. We're now, good. We can end this.
Yep.
We can end this now?
No, next week is our 150th episode, and we are planning to have some special guests on there.
Very, very special guests. So you must tune in.
Nice.
Yes.
The
following Tuesday. Yes.
Nike, just do it.
Yes. So, until next time, this is King Baby Duck.
Tag.
Reminding you, you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard, but it sure helps.
Yeah.